Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think the biggest thing from him that was just to stick together, we got what it takes in this room, and we just got to get it figured out.
You're listening to Chicago Bears postgame coverage on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
That was Chicago Bears left guard Cody Whitehair talking about what the players have to do to try and get this thing turned around. Kat, I don't think we have any argument with that. Unfortunately, it's not that simple. But what else can a player say at this point after something like that?
Yeah, there's not much that you can say. As a player, being in the locker room, you understand what's going on. You're there every day. You see the internal workings. So, deep down in your heart, even though sometimes you might not want to admit it, you know exactly what the problems are. But, you're going to also be a team player. You're also not going to throw any of your teammates under the bus and realize that, as a group, we have to get it together. As a group, we have to figure out what's going on here, because it's going to take more than one individual to fix what's wrong with the Bears right now.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Again, we've got one open at 312-644-6767. Doug has been waiting patiently out in Deerfield. Doug, how you doing?
Bob, how are you? I had a question about the time management at the end of the first half. The Bears got the ball back at their 17-yard line with a minute 14 left, no timeouts. They throw the ball on the first play for an incompletion, and then the second play they get 5 yards, so now there's a minute left. And they throw in another pass, and they're forced to punt, and luckily, the touchdown was called back. But it's just, you're 12-10, you've played awful. You got to get out of the first half at 12-10 and not let the New Orleans get into a position to score again. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Doug, of everything that we can pick apart in this game, Kat, I'll turn to you in a minute. I think that's kind of a damned if you do and damned if you don't. If he doesn't go and try and get his offense on track, put some points on the board, people are going to be upset with him for that. He does try and they fail, so you're concerned about that. I don't think you would be as concerned if it wasn't for the fake punt. Not the fake punt, but the punt return that fortunately was called back. The other factor there is that that the Saints are going to get the ball to start the second half, and if you can get points there, it can be a big momentum turner for you. So a lot to pick apart here. But I didn't love the plays that he called trying to get it done, but I don't think I can fault him, James, for trying to get something with a minute and a half left.
No, you've got a minute and a half left. You have an opportunity to at least move down the field and kick a field goal and be up. So you have to take advantage of that. You have to think that, okay, with this minute and a half, if we can move the ball down the field, get a couple first downs, eat up the clock, and put 3 points on the board to put us up, or hopefully get it into the end zone, then you're golden. But it didn't work out that way. And, as a coach, when do you, pull the dogs off and say, okay, we're going to run the ball and we're just going to run out this clock, or we're just going to go in to the half down by two?
Let's get back to it with, I think, Todd out in Dwight. Todd, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And if I may, I'm going to throw a little positivity your way that doesn't directly deal with the Bears. But I just wanted to let you know, as a father, I cannot tell you how impressed I am with your son today doing the pregame. He is outstanding. He's sharp. He's articulate. You done good, Daddy. So I just wanted to start with that. Anyways, a couple quick comments, if it's all right. As you know, I'm a fan of the that desperate team on the shores of Lake Erie.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get you to hold on for 1 second so that everybody else knows what we're talking about here, because a lot of folks missed it. Unbeknownst to me, I found out about this the other night. My middle son, who's the managing editor of Pro Football Weekly, was a co-host this morning here on The Score with Kevin Zipak from 9 to noon. Todd, you are being extremely kind. I don't know that I had anything to do with it, but I do agree with you. He did an outstanding job, so thank you very much for that. And now let's bring Todd back up. I didn't mean to cut you off, Todd. I just wanted to get everybody else in on what we were talking about.
No problem. And I meant that sincerely. And as you know, I'm a fan of the Browns. So this is an outsider's perspective. So there's no anger here, but I do love watching the Bears. 2 points real quick. My concern, and then one question for Kat, if you can answer it. My concern would really be 2 weeks in a row, and I know losing Hicks is, like I heard you on the pregame, that people are not getting, I think it was Stan Pompey too, that is not, cannot be underscored how huge of a loss. But having said that, where has Roquan Smith and Eddie Jackson been the last 2 weeks? I mean, those are two Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber guys. And I know it's hard. I'm being probably a little unfair singling them out. But, you know, when one guy goes down, you need the other guys to step up. And then, Kat, if you could, you know, a lot was made about moving around Whitehair and Daniel at the beginning of the year. And, you know, am I being simplistic and lazy by, and it's too late now, but, you know, is Daniel's going to eventually be okay? Is this something in week 12 we'll be like, oh, don't even worry about it? But, you know, you've said it all the time, Hub, and you said it when they moved Kyle Long about 5 years ago. When you move one Pro Bowl player to another spot, you're actually weakening two spots, and that's kind of what it looks like. So thanks again, and seriously, Hub, your son is outstanding, as I'm sure all your kids are. So thanks. Have a good night.
Actually, some of them are a pain in the ass, but no, I'm just kidding. I love every one of them. Thank you very much, Todd. Go ahead, Ken.
As far as Daniels being at center, you know, other than the things that I see, all I can go by is what a potential Hall of Fame center has told me, and that is that Daniels is going to be very good at that position for a very long time if he stays healthy. And this is Olin that has told me this, and you know I believe that. I think that when you look at Whitehair, I think that Whitehair has the ability to play both spots, but guard is his position. And I think he's done well at playing guard. He's made a good transition. You have a situation where you have a rookie center. The left guard, excuse me, has played center. So he can help out with the calls. He can help him with some of the little things if he gets them wrong, if they have the time to, you know, do it during the course of a play. But now you've thrown Coward in there. You know what I mean? And, you know, now is, you know, Massey going to be that guy to help Coward if he needs help? Or are you relying on Daniels to do it? Are you relying on Whitehair to pass it on? These guys are going to need time to work together to learn how to play together. And I think that's where we are now. You know, it was different with Kyle in there because even though Kyle was hobbled, I guarantee you Kyle always knew what his responsibility was, you know, for each play. Now, the problem then was taking care of that responsibility because he's injured. But now you're dealing with guys coming in and hoping that they know exactly what they're supposed to do. If they get a last-minute shift, if you get linebackers that have walked up into their gaps, you know, do they have that mindset of, okay, I know exactly what to do, or am I a second late off the ball because I'm trying to figure it out?
Todd, and just real quickly, and we should make mention, of course, Kyle Long, everybody knows, went to the injured reserve list this past Monday. His season is over. Realistically, with an option on his contract next year at a pretty high number, there's a chance that his Bears career is over. And Kyle has been a great Chicago Bear, and I feel awful for him. But the comparison that you made, it's kind of apples and oranges. When Kyle was drafted out of Oregon, a lot of the really smart football people I talked to thought that they were drafting him to play left tackle. because he had such exceptional athleticism for a man his size. And remember, he'd never really played in college. I mean, I think he played, he'd started one game. He played in like four games in any position. And yet they brought him in, they put him at guard, and he immediately, as a rookie, became a Pro Bowler. You know, not only did he have incredible athleticism, but unbelievable strength, you know, and just able to make plays at the second level. And then he goes on for a couple of years. He's becoming the best guard in the league. And then they decide to move him not to left tackle, but to right tackle. And what bothered me the most about it was they went all through training camp, if you recall, with him at right guard. And then the Monday before the opener, they decide now
like
they were
tricking somebody.
Yeah, now we're putting you out at right tackle. Can't you played the position? I mean, it may not be rocket science, but it'd be nice to have more than a day to get ready.
Right. It's a difference. It's a difference in the way you have to do things. Kyle is built. His mindset is that guard spot. He can crush your soul in a phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But when you put him out on the edge, and now I have this entire, from the guard that's sitting next to me to the sidelines of area that I have to keep an eye on, it's a little different if you don't do it on a regular basis.
And the difference with James Daniels, the Bears draft him in the second round, the best center prospect in the draft, had played guard a little bit 3 years earlier. He was 20 years old at the time. He still just turned 22 a couple of weeks ago, or actually, I guess, late August. And so they drafted him to be a center, but they wanted to get through that rookie year, and I couldn't agree with Cap more. I think that Cody Whitehair was fine at center. I think he can be better at guard. And I think center is Daniel's more natural position. And again, I rely on Olin, as Kat said, and if anybody knows, he does.
Right.
And he's telling me that he agrees with me, thinks he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler eventually. So that's not an issue that I have with what they're doing. I want to talk a little bit more about that with James in a minute, but let's get through some more callers first so they don't have to hang too long. Next up, it looks like this would be Bill's turn. Bill's in LaGrange Park. Bill, how you doing?
Gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Good. There's a couple of things. I was looking at the numbers that stuck out to me. Number one, we're talking about two turnovers for the Bears, zero for the Saints. But in regards to penalties, the Bears, they only had 10 yards. But I'm looking up in regards to the stats, and this really made me a bit PO'd, and it was that they did not get one first down rushing. And I'm concerned about that from two areas. Number one, Montgomery. Number two, the middle of the offensive line, even around going to the six. So both of you, I'd like to hear about that. This is a bit nerving, because if you can't get one first down on rushing, it's a bit concerning.
All right, well, yeah, Bill, I mean, we've been talking about it pretty much since the end of the game. I think it I don't want to say it stops with it, but certainly starts with the problems with the running game. They weren't willing to commit to it. It's not like Matt has never done it. You know, it's interesting, last year the Bears were 11th in the NFL in rushing, but just 27th in average gain per rush. And it was believed that a lot of that was because Mitch Trubisky had over 400 yards rushing, and that pumped up their running yard ranking to 11. The reality is that even if you take Mitch out, they were 16th. This year they're 30th, so this is a whole different thing. And there were times last year where they would run the ball, 25, 30 times, even if they weren't getting much done, to keep the defense honest. That is what they did in Denver, interestingly enough, against Vic Fangio. They have refused to do it the last few weeks. And so, Kat, I wish we had an answer. I don't. Maybe you do.
No, I don't have an answer either. And like you said, I feel as though, we're kind of beating a dead horse with this, because until they start making a conscious effort to run the ball, you're going to see stats like this. When you have third down and one, and you're trying to catch them over the trying to get it to Robinson over the top, when you have a third down and two and you're in empty, you know, backfield, your running game stats are going to suffer, and it shows that you are not putting forth that conscious effort to run the ball. And I guarantee you, those five guys up front, they want to run the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, they're tired of hearing about how everything is their fault and this offense is not working, the run game is not working because they're not able to get it done up front. So those third down and ones, those third down and twos, you know, goal line situations, as an offensive lineman, that's an opportunity in your mind to show your worth. And, you know, they're really not getting those opportunities.
312-644-6767. Actually, I think I got to sneak a quick break in here, but we've still got David, Tim, Derek, Johnny, Ryan. We're going to get to all you guys. Sean, hang on. We'll be back in just a minute here at 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Like you just said, time not on your side is you know, you keep getting every week that passes, you have to have an answer in regards to, you can't, you know, it can't keep dragging out. So there's got to be you got to fix the problems, and or else you do run out of time. So offensively, there wasn't, you know, you say you take away the good stuff, you know, for 3.5 quarters there wasn't a whole lot of good stuff. So that's just a simple fact, and with that, that's that.
You're listening to Chicago Bears postgame coverage on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
That was Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy meeting with the media following, I guess the final was 36-24, or 25. I think that it looked like the Bears had recovered a second straight onside kick. They got an onside kick late in the game. It was the first successful onside kick in the NFL this year. Then they got a second one, but it turned out Ben Broniker had stepped out of bounds and not reestablished himself. So final, I believe, 36-24. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, it's because it was never that close. You know, not to 12 points feels that close. This segment is brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more. 312-644-6767. It is now Tim's turn. Tim is in Madison. How you doing, Tim?
I'm fine, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Bear fan for 55 years. Just got a couple of questions. I truly stand by what you guys say, because you're sound people in what you do. Now, my first question is, I think that what's going on with the Bears so far as defense, we were on national TV today, and I saw that the fatigue gave way to the secondary failure. My question, that you can answer with a yes or no, and I'll hang up, but do you believe that the floodgate opens on other teams to see how we were exposed? Give me a yes or no on that, okay? Thank you very much. Thank you both, guys. Bye-bye.
You know, James, I don't know that anything was exposed. I think the Bears, I wasn't disappointed in the defense at halftime. I mean, you know, 2 points on the safety. Then they get stuck after the Anthony Miller fumble at what, the 17 or something like that, and hold them to a field goal. You know, they come out of that first half in spite of those mistakes, only down 12-10. And then, you know, they did. Listen, Sean Payton's a good coach. The Saints had a great halftime adjustment. They came out with a quick six-play touchdown drive to start the second half, and that was certainly disappointing. But then on the very next play, David Montgomery fumbles the football, and the Saints are, you know, practically in the red zone again. And I think you can only stress a defense so much. They didn't play great. I'm not defending them.
Right.
but if they'd gotten some help from the offense, I think it might have looked very differently on defense today.
Yeah, I think if they weren't out there all day, it definitely would have looked a little different. But I think you also have to look at it as, you know, the defense is going to have to clean some stuff up, because, you know, we're talking about 36 points. We're talking about one being on special teams as far as the punt return, and we're also talking about two field goals missed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's enough blame to go around.
Oh, yeah.
The defense, they were on the field for a long damn time, and that is unfortunate, especially, you know, all the talk that we've done about how after the Oakland game, they wanted to get into a game. They wanted to prove that, you know, that wasn't them. That's not how the Chicago Bears of 2019 play football. But unfortunately, because of all the time that they spent on the field, you know, it ended up looking like that again.
Yeah, Tim, I think that certainly they would be entitled to be fatigued by late in the third quarter. With 3 minutes left in the third quarter, the Saints had twice as much time of possession as the Bears. They were just under 28 minutes. Bears offense had only been on the field for 14 minutes and 20 seconds. So it's really hard to play football that way. Again, though, that said, I don't think that I'm not going to defend either side of the ball. This was not today the Bears team that we expected, that their performance last year gave us reason to expect this year, that their performance 3 weeks ago against the Vikings gave us. I mean, this is not the same team that we last saw at Soldier Field, come to think of it.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
They played Minnesota 3 weeks ago. They went to London, fell on their faces. They come back now after a week off, and they didn't vaguely resemble that defense. And so I'm sure there will be no sleep tonight for Matt Nagy and Chuck Pagano. They're probably on their way back to start breaking the film down right now, and there are some scheme things that they're going to try and figure out, you know, which opponents are looking at. But at least for the moment, no. I don't think it's a defense that was getting by with mirrors that's been exposed. I think it's a combination of the team coming apart, of the injury to Akeem Hicks, and today just being asked to stay on the field way too long. So let's get to, let's see, this is Sean, who is in St. Charles. Sean, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Hub. Great to talk to you and Big Cat. Thank you for taking my call. I want to say that Big Cat's a class act, and I've met him a couple times in the tunnel with my son, and he's always stopped and gave him an autograph. So, Big Cat, I appreciate you doing that for me. I want to ask you guys a question about Matt Nagy. You talk about Sean Payton, and rightfully so, and how prepared and how great he is and this and that. So where do we put Matt Nagy with his game preparation and his team preparation when it comes to preseason, not playing them, the game plans that he comes in with? I know he does a lot of lip service and he says a lot of these things, but at what point is it cliche? And at what point is he going to be held accountable for not having a game plan and not having a team prepared to play football? I mean, last year to this year, what is the reason for the decline? And I'll listen to your answer, guys.
Well, Sean, I'm not absolutely positive of this, but I'm about 95% sure that the reigning NFL Coach of the Year has never been fired at the end of the next season. So it's at least next year. You know, he's going to get one real good one, and we'll see how this one ends. But even if it ends badly, I think he and Ryan Pace are still your management team for the foreseeable future. At what point do we decide he's a bad coach and not a good coach? Because again, he's the reigning NFL Coach of the Year. I'm not there yet, Kat. I think that, you know, he's learning. You know, this is hard. These guys,
right, yeah.
You know, they worked all their lives to do this, and he just had phenomenal success his first year. Yeah. And I think now maybe he's beginning to realize it could have been the worst thing that ever happened to him.
He's in a sophomore slump.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, players are always, you know, it's always talked about how players hit that sophomore slump. How, you know, once they've been put on film and other coaches, other players have an opportunity to see the things that they do and the thing, well, not only see the things that they do, but the things that they like to do. And, you know, that I think that's where Nagy is now. I think, you know, because of film study, the league has caught up to him a little bit, and it's just going to take some time for him to figure it out. But, you know, the other thing that we have to talk about is that, you know, he's going to have to make his changes. He's going to have to figure it all out. But we have to give him that opportunity.
Yeah.
We have to give him that chance. And last year, this is a team that didn't have to deal with adversity. Mm-hmm. You know, this is Nagy's first year of legitimately having to deal with, you know, your starting left guard being out for the season, your starting defensive end being out for the season. You know, whatever they had going on with Roquan a couple weeks ago. These are different types of adversity that he's having to deal with now that him or the Bears didn't have to deal with last year.
And there's another possibility, and I'm just saying this is a possibility. Please, people, don't run out and say that I reported this because I'm just, you know, making this up here. But for all we know, he's getting in the car right now saying to himself, what am I supposed to do with Mitch Trubisky as my quarterback? Or what am I supposed to do with so-and-so as my tackle or so-and-so as my this or so? We don't know. You know, we don't know what's going on behind the curtain.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so eventually we do always find out, but it is too soon in this case. So this is wildly disappointing based on where they finished, based on all the you know, a lot of the expectations got built up by the whole 100th anniversary thing and all the focus that was put on the opener versus the Packers. And again, you know, it's the hand you're dealt. You got to deal with it. You got to be successful at it. But at the end of the day, they are exactly where they were 1 year ago at 3-3. Now, this 3-3 feels very different than last year's 3-3.
Yeah.
And I am not at all confident that this one's going to end anywhere near the same way. But that is the reality. And the reality of the answer to that question is that Matt Nagy is the head coach of the Chicago Bears for the foreseeable future, at least into next season, and should be, by the way. There's no doubt in my mind about that after the great job. What he has done, he's done a great job of building a culture up there. You got to realize what he took over, what he inherited, what the attitude around the building was, how everybody in the organization feels about what they're doing. And he had, I'm not even going to repeat it because it's going to take us in a direction I don't want to go. He did make one, I don't know if he meant it to be an unfortunate comment, but there's some tweets going on now about something he said to the media towards the end that I'm guessing he either wishes he hadn't said or will rethink it tomorrow. It's not a big story, guys. It's not something I'm hiding from you. But yeah, everybody's down. Everybody's angry. Everybody's frustrated. You can't get this one back. This is all going to now be about what they do tonight and tomorrow when they get back to work on Wednesday. You got a Chargers team coming in here next year. I actually picked the Saints to beat the Chargers in the Super Bowl this year. The Chargers are in worse shape than the Bears. They got beat again today, this time at Tennessee. They're going to come in here not at 3-3, but at 2-4. We'll see what happens next week. But there's going to be a period of adjustment, and there's going to be every opportunity for Matt Nagy to get this thing turned around before anybody would even seriously talk about the possibility of making a change. We'll get one more before we break. Derek is calling all the way from Atlanta. Derek, thanks for hanging in. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. I've been losing faith in our quarterback. During this broadcast, the question was asked to Aikman about the significance of college experience in regard to Mr. Trubisky. And I'm acknowledging that the offensive line wasn't spectacular, and I'm acknowledging that sometimes today our wideouts were not open, but it appears to me that Mitch may just never be a top quarterback in our league. And to me, it appears that he looks confused and he struggles to make it through his progressions, and sometimes he hesitates to work the ball downfield. So, guys, help me out. Like, I'm just curious, to the best of your knowledge, has there ever been, like, a top-tier quarterback or a Super Bowl quarterback who's had Trubisky's skill set, who's looked this awful for a couple years, and happen to turn it around, or do you feel like Mitch is who he looked like today? And has your ceiling for Mitch fallen or changed?
Well, Derek, Jimmy Plunkett, I believe, was the number one overall pick out of Stanford and was released by two teams before he got to the Raiders and won two Super Bowls and I think an MVP. And so now I have to go back 40 years to find you an example. I'm not saying that that's Mitch or that's likely to happen, but the answer is, yeah, I mean, it's happened once or twice. Brad Johnson bounced around forever before winning a Super Bowl. Rich Gannon bounced around to a number of teams before he won an MVP and took a team to a Super Bowl. So they are absolutely the exception, not the rule. And I'm not sure it's really the answer. I'm not sure that's the question that you're asking. I heard what you were saying about the question put from Tom Brenneman to Troy Aikman. And, Kat, I believe there has never been a quarterback drafted in the first round with less college starting experience than Mitch Trubisky. The closest you get to it is Cam Newton, but he actually had a couple more starts, including a national championship game, and a few seasons, a full season starting in junior college, and started a game or two, I believe, at Florida before he got kicked out or left there. But that's the closest you can get. And Aikman's answer was that, in fact, yeah, that is a big deal. That does mean it might take a little bit longer. But it's one thing to say it's going to take a little bit longer. It's another thing to look as awful as he did today.
I have no quarterbacks to throw into that. I was going to throw Moses Moreno in there, but
yeah, Moses never quite
count.
Made it.
Right, he doesn't count. So I look, it's we're all getting a little impatient. You know, we all want to see who we thought Mitch was going to be. You know, he's been labeled the, you know, franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and everybody wants to see him perform to those standards. You know, we've seen glimpses of it. We've seen little glimpses of it here, little glimpses of it there. You know, him being able to stand in the pocket and throw the ball, him being able to throw on the run. You know, we've seen glimpses of the things that he has the possibility to do. But we have not seen it all put together. We have not seen an entire game of, you know, what we want out of our franchise quarterback. And I think until we see that, until as fans we see it, until as a coaching staff they see it, as an organization they see it, we're going to have questions, and we have the right to.
Folks, join Joe Ostrowski for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show on Tuesday from 6 to 10 at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park. Enjoy the broadcast. Enter for a chance to win Bears tickets and watch a live interview with our buddy Olin Krutz. They always write in this copy, former Bear Olin Krutz, like people don't know he's a former Bear. He's Cats and my buddy. I know that. Olin will be out there with Joe. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. We're going to take a quick break before we get to our last bank of phone calls right here at Connie's Pizza and at 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I talk about the horse blinders and the earmuffs. Don't listen to anything outside, because right now it's not going to be good, you know? So what happens is people from outside try to pull you down, and the last thing that anybody's going to do, whether it's you guys or anybody else outside, is you're not pulling us down. So we're going to be positive, and we're going to fight through it, because that's what winning teams do, and that's what positive people and good people do.
You're listening to Chicago Bears postgame coverage on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
So, you know, Chris, I'm really glad I was careful with how I phrased that now, because it turns out the tweet is not what he said, because that was the Matt Nagy comment that I was referring to, which I have no problem with, but somebody tweeted it out as something completely different that people would have a problem with, and that's how we seem to get in trouble in every walk of life these days, isn't it? All right, guys, we've got a few more calls here. We're going to have to leave shortly, but we are going to be joining the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles in progress here on The Score, courtesy of my buddies at Westwood One. That's the guys I work with on Monday nights. So we'll have Eagles-Cowboys for you after we wrap up here just ahead of 9 o'clock. We want to get to a few more callers. And next up from Arkansas, it is David calling. David, how you doing?
Hey, doing pretty good. I appreciate you guys taking my call. I had a couple questions, and then I'll hang up, and I just want to hear what you guys, you know, have to say about it. My question is, I think it was the opening drive of the game. I mean, you got a quarterback who's coming off an injury, got a harness on his arm, and I could be wrong, but was that an option that they ran, like, to the right? It looked like a quarterback option. Why is he running the football with a harness on his arm? And my next question is, I thought we got Cordell Patterson for the gadget plays. Why is Anthony Miller running them? Why isn't Cordell Patterson not running that jet sweep? That's what he does. That's what he's made a living doing. I mean, and I also think he needs to be on the field a lot more. I'll hang up and I'll listen to you guys call. Thanks.
You know, David, I'm trying to remember, and again, we jumped right on the air, haven't seen any tape. I don't recall seeing Mitch running any options today. There was one RPO where he made a horrible decision where if he had given Montgomery the ball, he would have gone for about 30, and instead he kept it and ended up having to throw it away because he almost got sacked. You could be totally right, Dave, but I don't remember seeing any options out there tonight.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If in the first drive of the game they sent Mitch out there to run the option, that's the best way to see whether that shoulder is okay or mm-hmm. not. I mean, that's the best way to do it. But I haven't seen him run a lot of options. So it might have just been, you know, a pitch play, because I do believe Cohen was in there at the time.
Yeah,
so
he started the game
just
at running
been, right. It might have just been one of those long pitch plays that in order to get it out of his hands, he's got to get it out of there extremely hard. So.
Yeah, David, I wish I could help you with that. As far as Cordarrelle Patterson, I did comment to Kat and Patrick as we were watching the game. I'd like to see him used a little bit more as well, not necessarily on gadget plays. We know Matt Nagy loves his gadgets. And you know, again, when things are going right, they're going right. When they're going wrong, they're going wrong. Last year, everything he trotted out, Oompa Loompa, Willy Wonka, Santa's sleigh, it all worked, okay?
Yeah.
We're not seeing much of it this year because they're not really in a position to be trying it. And when he does try and do some of the jet sweeps and some of the ways he's trying to get running backs in space, all of those guys are capable of doing it. I mean, Anthony Miller, you know, one thing they've done is they've really upgraded the speed of this offense. When you look at Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Cordarrelle Patterson, Tariq Cohn, I'm fine with any of them running those plays. The problem is that they're not breaking them.
Yeah. You know, I think we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks as far as we had set expectations of things that we were going to see this year. Mitch getting better, Cohen being better, you know, all these guys being Robinson, you know, all these guys being another year in this system. And I think that's what has let us down, you know, Burton being better. You know, they're not showing up like we expected them to. You know, even when we talk about Cohen, you know, from the season that he had last year, looking at this season, he hasn't broken out yet. Mm-hmm. And we're still waiting to see those big breakout plays that we expected from these guys, and we're just not getting it.
At one point, very late in the game, Tariq Cohen had caught 9 passes for 19 yards. And some of that, now, they're not getting him the ball going north and south, but even with that, some of that is once he catches the ball, he just goes east-west too much. You know, he just sometimes he just doesn't turn it up soon enough, and I think that's been part of his problem. Next up, it is Johnny's turn. John is in Bartlett. John, how you doing? We got John out in Bartlett?
Yeah.
There we go. How you doing, John?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I was actually at the game tonight. I'm very disappointed in the performance the Bears displayed tonight. I just had a couple questions. So when the trade deadline comes around, do you think there needs to be some moves that need to be made? And do we pull the plug on Mitch eventually if things don't start changing around?
Boy, Johnny, it's funny that we got your call up at that moment because I was just thinking as I'm sitting here trying to sort some of this out. The trade deadline is actually October 29th, so it is now, whatever that is, 10 days away, a week from Tuesday. The Bears are not in horrible shape with 2 second-round picks. If you had a one, you wouldn't want to deal it anyway. Trent Williams is sitting out there in Washington, and they swear they're not going to trade him. But I think if somebody offered them a two that looks now like it could be in the middle of the second round, they'd have to think about it. I'd love to see him do that. A.J. Green is going to be available. Now, he's 30 years old. He's been banged up recently. But you can think about how interesting that would be with him on the other side and Allen Robinson, and then you stick Gabriel or Miller in the slot. I'm trying to think. There's some rumors about Von Miller. That wouldn't make sense for the Bears, and I don't think it's going to happen. There are teams inquiring about Emmanuel Sanders, and then there's the fascinating conversation, Kat, which is that a lot of people believe that if the Tennessee Titans got the right offer, they might move Marcus Mariota. Now, we go back to Ryan Pace's first draft and all these reports that they were in love with him. The problem is that Marcus Mariota has the same problems in Tennessee that Mr. Trubisky has here, so I don't know why you'd want to make that deal now.
Right.
That's a long-winded way to say I just don't see where the Bears are at, that there's a move out there that is worth making right now. But you never say never, because, again, they know they were 3-3 last year and they know what happened, so maybe they see it differently than I do.
Yeah, but like we've been talking about for the last 2 hours, this 3-3 feels a lot different
than
last year's 3-3. So when you talk about coming up to the deadline as far as being able to acquire another player, after the Oakland game and after this Saints game, do you still have the same confidence in your defense? Do you still have the same confidence in your team to make a move like that in the situation you're in?
Yeah, I mean, last year's 3-3 in part felt much better because it was coming off 5-11, and right. This one hurts a lot more because it's coming off 12-4. But beyond that, I don't see one player or one deal out there that is going to be the way you turn this around.
Changing this around, right. Yeah.
All right. I don't see anybody flashing here. It looks like we still got some callers up, but we are actually near our deadline here, I guess, Chris. So is it time to say goodbye? Or maybe some final thoughts, Kat? my final thoughts aren't pretty, so I don't know if I should give them or not. But it was certainly not what Bears fans hoped today. I was actually, in a strange way, a little bit encouraged at halftime that it was 12-10. And I did feel like maybe the defense could come out and make a play, you know, early in the second half. But when the Saints came out and went right down the field in 6 plays and it was suddenly 19-10, and then Montgomery fumbles on the very next play, you know, for all practical purposes, the game was over. And so... to me, I evaluate the defensive performance a little better than the offensive performance. I can still see ways that the defense gets fixed, even though it wasn't good today. But the offense, it actually got worse than last time.
Yeah, we are, I don't know, we're in kind of an interesting situation here where you have so many things that you feel as though need to be fixed in a short period of time in order for the Bears to make it to where you thought they could be before the season started.
Guys, hang in there. There is a lot of football season left. We have seen bigger turnarounds, and even if it doesn't happen, there still should be plenty of entertaining football left to be played. We're going to have it all for you right here at 670 The Score. We got a lot of thank yous to hand out tonight. We want to thank Studs, Adam Studzinski, who was producing for us earlier today. Chris Dickens has been with us all day long. He has been a trooper, man, taking care of everything and everybody. Julio Roseo stepped in for Studs in the booth in our post-game show. From promotions, Craig Rinaldi and Cooper Kaplan have been with us all day long. Marshawn Robinson, outstanding job engineering, spinning the dials. Thank you so much. The folks at Connie's have been just incredible. What a great spot. What great host. Thank you so much for having us, guys. Again, 2273 South Archer. Get out here as often as you can. The beer is ice cold. The food is great. Most of all, to all of you who came out, for all of you who have listened, thank you so very much. We will be back with a Built Ford Tough Monday tomorrow on The Score. Right now, we take you to Dallas for Eagles and Cowboys courtesy of Westwood One.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.